Our Father, we do praise you for your mercies every day, and we praise you now that you speak through your word. Give us now ears that listen, minds that understand, and hearts that long to trust and obey, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, do please be seated. What does compassion look like? What is it to be a caring person? Well, this morning we pick up again our series in Matthew's Gospel. Do you remember? We'd reached the end of chapter 9. And do you remember what we've seen in recent months in chapters 8 and 9? The astonishing authority of Jesus. Maybe you can remember some of the episodes that we looked at. Cleansing the leper, healing the paralyzed servant of the centurion. We had calming the storm, casting out the demons, opening the eyes of the blind, even raising a dead girl to life. And not surprising, we saw, didn't we, the crowds flocked to Jesus and followed him. And remember what they said. They said, never was anything like this seen in Israel. And of course, that was the point. Because centuries beforehand, God had promised that a day was coming when he would send his king, his Messiah, and we would know that's who he was because he would demonstrate this kind of authority. And it had been a long wait. But now, well, God's king had arrived. Jesus claimed to be that king, and his actions showed it. But now we're thinking, but okay, if that's who Jesus is, God's king, why did he come into the world? What was it, with all that authority, that he wanted to do? You might remember we left Matthew 9 at the end with this summary of what Jesus went to do. He went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. So here's a king with compassion for the people. But the question is, what then would that compassion look like in practice? Well, we have crowds around us in London today. Again, we must think, what would it be to care for them? Likewise in Wales and beyond. Well, what does King Jesus think is needed? What does compassion look like according to him? Well, to find out, we would read on, wouldn't we, in Matthew? So let's do that, picking it up now at the beginning of chapter 10. It's on page 982. Matthew 10. Beginning from the first verse. Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go now among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. So the king has compassion for the crowds. So what does he do? First of all, the king sends out 12. Verse 1, he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Now, I think it would be fair to say that a couple of generations ago, it would be common for school children to be able to name these 12 disciples. I'm not going to test us this morning. Although maybe what matters more is not so much the names, but that there were precisely 12 of them. Oh, and have you ever wondered why that is that Jesus chose 12? It makes sense as we remember what has just happened in Matthew's gospel. Remember, Jesus is God's king. And remember, he came fulfilling promises to Israel. But Israel of the first century was not a good place, to say the least. Do you remember how we've seen, for example, the religious leaders respond to Jesus? The crowds flock to Jesus. But do you remember the Pharisees, just in chapter 9, who of all people should have realized who Jesus was, denounced him as demonic. So, first century Israel, made up of those 12 historic tribes, descended from the 12 sons of Jacob, was failing to be the people God had called them to be. So when Jesus calls 12 disciples, that is a startling statement. It's to say, here is the beginning, the new start of a new Israel. If you like, in this action, Jesus is redefining who the people of God are. He is saying it is those in his kingdom. So at the same time, of course, that is a striking claim about Jesus. Back in the Old Testament, it was the Lord God who chose those 12 tribes to be his people. But now it's Jesus, the king, who gathers the 12. And Jesus says the true people of God are those connected to him. So there's the 12. What were they to do? Notice verse 2. They are called apostles. That means literally they are sent out. But sent out to do what? Look down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. I wonder what strikes you as you hear that list of instructions. It is a staggering list of what these apostles are meant to do. What do you notice about the things Jesus lists? There's miracles, aren't they? But as we read that list of miracles, it can't help but strike us. Those are precisely the things Jesus did. And then think of the message. What did Matthew summarize earlier the message of Jesus to be? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Just like the apostles are meant to say. And just think, what were the actions of Jesus? Well, they were healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing lepers, casting out demons. So the point must be the 12 are being sent out to continue the work of Jesus, or in a sense, multiply it, because there are more of them. Or to put it better, the work of Jesus would continue through his apostles. So here's what compassion looks like. It's Jesus planning that the effects of his work are going to spread far and wide. Jesus is what, or we could say, who the world needs. Now, this is the very early stages. This bit is for Israel only, and that's why the 12 in particular are to travel light, as we heard. But as we read on in chapter 10 over the next few weeks, we will see that this is building towards plans for the spread to go to all nations, because that is who the kingdom of God is for. Now, before we go on, hearing what these 12 disciples are up to, people sometimes wonder, well, shouldn't we see those things today? Like raising the dead in followers of Jesus. I wonder how you would answer that question. To answer fully, we'd have to look to all the Bible. But even from this verses, notice how these 12 are called apostles. That is a very distinct role for these foundational disciples. So it doesn't follow that everyone who follows will do the same. But also, we've just seen a big list of the works of Jesus. I wonder which one excites us, and we think, I wish that one happened today. But actually, as we read on, notice which one of them Jesus highlights as he develops his instructions to the 12. Well, we'll see that as second, as well as sending out the 12, the king's message of peace. We reach verse 11. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. So remember, Jesus already said the disciples are to go proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And remember, they're going to travel light. They're not going to have much on them. So they arrive in a new town. They proclaim that message. And the residents are going to have to decide pretty quickly what they make of what the disciples say. Because in particular, the residents are going to have to decide whether they welcome those disciples and put them up and look after them. So the hearers will show their view of the message by the welcome they give to the messengers. So what's a worthy house? It is the one that accepts what the disciples are saying about the kingdom of heaven being at hand. And notice, if they do that, welcome them, then Jesus says, verse 12, then the disciples' peace is to come upon that house. But if the household is not worthy, because it rejects the disciples and their message, their peace will return to them. What's going on? Now, in first century Israel, it was conventional as a greeting to offer peace. But as Jesus describes it here, it clearly means much more than that. This is the peace that comes to those who accept the message about the kingdom, and so the king. But what kind of peace is it? It's not merely a well-meaning wish for peace. It's not talking about national peace either from the Roman oppressors. Jesus is talking here about the most fundamental peace of all. And we can see that when we remember again the context of where we find this. Do you remember Jesus looking out on the crowds? Well, what did he see? Look back to chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep and shepherd is Bible language. The leaders of Israel were meant to be the shepherds of Israel. But of course, those of that day had failed. But more than that, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. So to say this crowd is like sheep without a shepherd is to say that of themselves they are cut off from the most important shepherd of all, the Lord God himself. So the people need to be gathered in by the shepherd. But that can only happen if there is peace between the shepherd and the sheep, between God and the people. So Jesus' compassion is shown in coming to bring this peace. As we know, it takes him to his death on the cross. And that is the message the disciples go out with. Because of the king, because of Jesus, we can be at peace with our Maker. That's the message Jesus wants all to hear. So we've seen the compassion of the king. He sends out the 12 with this message of peace. The third aspect of Jesus' compassion is the king's warning of judgment. This week, Public Health England warned members of the public in Salisbury to avoid picking up discarded objects. You'll know why. There may still be traces of Novichok around. This chemical agent, which attacks the central nervous system, it causes cardiac arrest and asphyxiation. Now, I take it no one wants to hear a warning like that. It is distressing, really, even to think about it. So you might ask, well, why did Public Health England issue it? Well, keep that in mind as we read verse 14, where Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town." Now, this is proverbial language. We might be quite used to shaking the dust off your feet. It's actually a shocking thing for Jesus to say. "So, disciples, proclaim my word," says Jesus, "but if a house or a town rejects them, shake the dust from your feet as you leave." But what does that mean? It means the disciples are to treat that house or town as if it is pagan, as if it is cut off from God with nothing to do with him. But you remember where the disciples are. This is the part of the mission to Israel. But Jesus says, no matter, if they reject the message about the king, treat them as if they are cut off from God. Which just underlines really the claim Jesus made. He is the king. And now the people of God are determined by how they respond to Jesus. It doesn't matter what their postcode is or anything like that. From now on, that's what counts. But you could just imagine that as the disciples did that, maybe shook the dust off their feet, a house or a town would say, well, so what? So what if this bunch of disciples shake the dust off their feet? What difference will it really make if we don't take seriously your message about Jesus? Well, that brings us to the last verse, verse 15. Jesus says, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Well, we heard about Sodom and Gomorrah in our Old Testament reading. Those in Israel of the day would know the story very well. God was angry with the wickedness of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He promised to destroy it, which he did by raining down fire and sulfur from heaven. Terrifying even to imagine what that would have been like. And we heard in the reading that when Abraham looked then towards Sodom and Gomorrah, it looked like smoke going up from a furnace. Well, with that in mind again, listen again to what Jesus says. It'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for the town that rejects the message that he is king. Now, we said that was a sign of Jesus' compassion, but language like that is not normally considered compassionate because it's also judgmental, surely even unkind, or even worse, it's cruel, it's manipulative. Unless, of course, it's true. Unless, of course, it is true that it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. And, of course, we'll decide whether we think that's true or not, depending on who we think says it. If Jesus is just another religious leader like the others, or even worse, if he's a crackpot or a con man, then, of course, ignore what he is saying here. But if he really is God's king, and Matthew's evidence really does show that convincingly, then obviously we take what he says seriously. And then it makes sense that Jesus knows what he's talking about, because if he's the king, then Judgment Day will consist of everyone who's ever lived standing before him. So of course he knows what it will involve. And so therefore, if Jesus is God's king, then it is compassionate for him to speak like this ahead of time. In his kindness, Jesus is trying to bring those hearers to their senses, to warn them of just how serious it is for anyone then or today to keep on rejecting Jesus. So as we look back on this today, we can see, can't we, that the apostles did what they were sent out to do. They took Jesus' words to Israel, and then more than that, the message of Jesus has gone to the ends of the earth. But we're still waiting. In Jesus' compassion, the day of judgment, when all will stand before him, has not yet arrived. Which means that as we read it today, there is still time for those who are Jesus' people, who recognize him as king, to pass his words on to others, as those disciples did. And wonderfully, there is still time for people to accept the message of peace with God because of Jesus' death on the cross. There is still time for the world around us to come to their senses, to be ready so that the day they meet Jesus will be to meet not their enemy, but their friend. Let's pray as we close. And so, our Father, we do praise you for your compassion revealed in Jesus, your King. We do thank you again that the gospel is a message of peace with you and rescue from your judgment. Thank you that in his compassion, Jesus made these plans to reach all nations. And we thank you simply that it has reached us all these years later. And we do ask that more and more would hear of this compassion and so turn to Jesus as King. And we ask it for his name's sake. Amen.